Here we go. 46 yards for the win.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
You win some, you lose some.
That's how close it was. Tampa OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers. Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. By the whisker of a fingertip, the Bears fall 20-19 to the Green Bay Packers. Welcome into our show here. We'll be with you till 5 o'clock this evening. Plenty of time for your calls at 312-981-7200. But, you know, I hate to say that the M word, the moral victory kind of thing, but I tell you what, they did pretty much everything right until the very end there.
There's a lot that you could say. The Bears, you know, righted a lot of the ship, but you still got to bring it into port. And you know what? Hey, look, we all like Cairo Santos, and he has been money. Unfortunately, to me, okay, and we're going to kick this around the next hour and 45 minutes. But what are you doing not trying to get 2, 5, 6 yards closer? All that being said, it wound up being a 46-yarder. That's a chip shot, OB. But sooner or later, it comes back and bites you. When you quit being aggressive, sometimes everyone kind of loses their composure. And for whatever reason, it did not look like our kicker made a good pass. But just to get into that position, there were so many good things. We'll talk about it. Finally, you wanted a difference maker at quarterback. We saw it today, Caleb Williams, running the ball, making big clutch throws, especially on that last drive. You can say what you want. Yeah, a moral victory, it doesn't count. But there's a lot of reasons why you can say, yeah, well, this kid's got a little something, and maybe we do some other things right. We can start winning again.
Well, Dan, the first thing they can do is, you know, our second leading rusher, folks, was on our team. Our second leading rusher, Swift, had 71 yards. Our second leading rusher was our quarterback, had 70 yards. 70 yards. Average gain per pass play, Packers, 14.4 yards per pass play against us. We were at 6.2. 14, you want to know why we lost the game? Take away a couple of those stats, and that should explain a little bit of it to you. I don't know how long we're going to go in the back half of this season with our quarterback being the total and complete focal point, and that's what he was today. He did, to me, he played a hell of a game. I'll give him credit for that. But I'll tell you what, you think you're going to run your quarterback all those attempts, and he's the second leading rusher on our team, and you're going against Detroit, you're going against the 49ers, you're going against the Packers again up there. You got to get everybody involved, Coach. You've got to get everybody involved, every receiver, every running back, and don't put the pressure on our rookie quarterback to do the running, do the passing. It's not going to work. He's going to go down.
But till the end of the game, you've got to say, you know, we went into this one after such abysmal failures the last 3 weeks on offense. But today, we were 9-16 on third down. That's fantastic. We were 3-3 on fourth down, which is off the charts. So total 12-19 on third and fourth down, Andy. That should give you a win. Unfortunately, our kicker didn't come through.
Yeah, and our coach actually going for it on fourth down a couple of times. I think one time he had to be talked into it, but it was nice to see that he was actually getting a little aggressive in that case.
Well, actually what happened, Danny, to me, and looking through my eyes, you got the center and the left guard and the right guard, they got blown up. They got whacked, straightened up, and pushed back a half a yard, and the guy jumped up and blocked it with his left hand.
Yeah. And
that's what happened.
He did. He hit the scene.
They overwhelmed our front three, our center, and our two guards. That's what the hell happened.
But I got to tell you, OB, Santos has been such a good kicker. The ball should have been up another foot or so. I mean, it wasn't a 55-yarder where he had to drive it low. That I think he missed the ball. He didn't hit it the way he wanted, and unfortunately, it was blocked.
Danny, I'll stick to what I said. The center and both those guards got blown up and got pushed back. They got straightened up and pushed back from the snap to the holder. By the time he kicked the ball, they were in the backfield.
All right, we'll take a quick time out here, come back, and discuss these things more with the fact the Bears played well against the Packers, but come up short, 20-19, the final at Soldier Field. Happen to be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
We controlled the ball 13 minutes more than they did. We made a lot of great plays. It just, one play separates it.
Then there should have been a hell of a difference in the score if we had that much more time with the ball. Wow.
Were you expecting Houdini to show up today? Hey, Thomas Brown and his offensive play calling was a huge upgrade. Maybe there's a chance. Maybe.
Dan, again, we lost.
20-19, that's the final.
Here's Swift. That's a great block outside. One man to beat. Swift, the race. Touchdown, Chicago.
DeAndre Swift taking that one in, courtesy of Fox Sports. Tampa will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. By the way, in case you were wondering, the Steelers did hang on to win that game 18-16 over the Baltimore Ravens. Here we're thinking about the Bears and the Packers. It just concluded at Soldier Field, and Green Bay on the miraculous blocked field goal at the very end of the game carries out the 20-19 win over the Bears.
A lot of folks are saying, we had the Packers reeling, and we were, had them on their heels, and yet once we, threw the ball and Keenan Allen got it at what, the 28, it's like we didn't know what we wanted to do. And in fact, we did nothing and essentially just kind of said, okay, we're going to get ready and do a field goal attempt. And
bingo, Danny, that's the point. That is a great point you just made right there.
But Roshan, and again, you made the point during the break, Andy, they were actually using these running backs in their appropriate task.
Yep, correctly.
Swift on the perimeter, Roshan between the tackles. And I don't know why. I don't know why you wouldn't hit it a time or two and you had a timeout. But let's get to the calls. I know the fans are gut-wrenched.
All right, we got time for one here before we get to the first break here for the news. Let's go out to Maurice. You're up with Happen OB. Go ahead, Maurice.
Hello, gentlemen. I want to commend Thomas Brown. He was the pass game coordinator upgraded to offensive coordinator. He had good play calling. He got everybody involved that I named earlier. Now, I'm going to go to the negative side. Matt Eberflus, his head is on the chopping block. He was the one that hired Shane Waldron, who was a bust as an OC. He hired Luke Getsy, who was a bust as a coordinator. If the Bears do not have at least a winning record, Eberflus is out of here. As always, gentlemen, great show. Have a good day.
Thanks, Maurice. Appreciate it.
He's also the same one that hired Alan Williams last year that had to resign in disgrace. And the same one that was a part of, signing Nate Davis, thinking that's going to fix your offensive line issues. So there's a lot of reasons that, you could point a finger at Matt Eberflus. But today was the Bears' best effort, top to bottom, on the season. Now, we still lost. I got it, OB. But still, it gives you a little bit of hope, thinking that somehow, some way, we can come out of this funk. Folks, let me just tell you this. We only had the ball 7 times today. A lot of games will have it 10, 11, 12 times. Why only 7? Because we actually, and it goes back to what you just said, Maurice, we sustained drives. The first series of the game, we had an 8-play, 34-yard drive for a field goal. Then a 10-play, 46-yard that we had to give the ball up in a punt. We only punted twice today. Then a 13-play, a 10-play, 11-play, a 12-play, and at the end of the game, a 7-play drive. That is ball control, effective, efficient offense. Those are good things. We haven't seen anything close to it.
Well, Danny, here, let me just, a couple of things here. Caleb Williams, okay? He did most of the running today. The first half, folks, our leading rusher was Caleb Williams. He had 6 attempts for 60 yards. Who was second? Swift. 8 carries for 13, and then more. 1 carry for 5 yards. But he was our leading rusher the first half. And he would have been our leading rusher at the end of the game, but he lost out by 1 yard to Swift. Now, Dan, I'm going to tell you, there is no way. I've been around this game a long time. There's no way you're going to have a running quarterback in the National Football League in 4 quarters of football lead you to victory week after week after week. This is a passing league. Anybody who knows anything about this game knows that. And we relied on Williams in critical situations to run the football and get a first down. Now, you think you're going to get away with that from week to week to week in the National Football League? You're going to get away with that against playing against the Packers again, playing against the Vikings, and 2 games against Detroit, and 1 against the 49ers, and basically our leading rusher is our quarterback. He's going to get killed somewhere along the line. He's going to get whacked. There's no doubt in my mind.
All right, more about it coming up after the news. The Bears lose 20-19. Happen will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
They bring in Kramer as a fullback. He's an old lineman. They're going to give it to Johnson. Oh, I don't know that he got there. He did. Signals a touchdown. The Bears are finally in.
Roschon Johnson with a touchdown. It was the Bears' first since he scored in Washington, 25 consecutive drives. Courtesy of Fox Sports, Tampa will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
All right, before we get back to the callers, folks, again, back to the big picture. Yeah, we lost. Unfortunately, we lost on a last-second kick. Nobody likes it, but all that being said, we were so much better, more efficient today. And even that last drive, remember, folks, we get the ball. We get sacked twice. It was 3rd and 24.
Yeah.
And our quarterback made 2 plays to keep us in a drive and get us down to the 28-yard line. When was the last time we saw something like that? There were some good things. We're going to get to it here in a minute.
Yeah, he was 3 for 3 for 59 yards after the 2 sacks going forward and setting up that field goal opportunity. 312-981-7200. Let's go out to Patrick and say hi to Patrick. You're up with Happen OB. Go ahead, Patrick.
Hey, guys. I want to say your guys are legends of the game. You guys are legends on the radio. I love listening to you guys every single day, week in, week out, when it comes to postgame. I want to talk about how our offense was so efficient in completion percentage from Caleb Williams and how we decided to utilize our run game to the best of our ability. Granted, yes, we did lose to a blocked field goal kick. But looking at the replay, we did not, like, it wasn't blocked. Based on the replay, it was there. But I want to say why our offense was so good because of our new offensive coordinator. We had the completion percentage. We didn't have a single turnover all game. And our Caleb Williams had the confidence because of the play calling that we had under our new OC. What do you guys think?
All right, Patrick, thanks.
All right, a couple of things. And here's the thing, and OB, I know you don't like it, but this is the new wave of NFL offenses. We just saw it with, you know, the loss by Baltimore. By the way, they're a Superman kicker, Ross Tucker. He missed 2 field goals that cost them the game. They lost to Pittsburgh by 2 points. Yep. But all that being said, in this offense, it's going to be kind of a bunch of paper cut type plays. They're not going to be, you know, drop back. We still threw for 231 yards, OB. I mean, that is the second most of his career, isn't it?
I believe so.
And we still ran the ball for something like 180 yards, 179 yards. The offense was very, very efficient. And Caleb running the ball and pulling it off the RPOs, and I know you don't like it, but it was 9 plays. But those are the things that keep the chains moving and keeps defenses from just basically, you know, compressing your offense and keeping you in a position where you've got to throw desperate passes, you know, on third and 12 every series. All that being said, I think, you know, to expect him to run 6 to 8, 10 times a game, I think we're going to see it. And he gets down. I think that's the new thing that this offense will feature.
Well, diversity is what we're seeing today. We finally were throwing the ball a little bit more, utilizing the strong side, utilizing the weak side of the field. We ran. There was play action. There was bootlegs, things that should have been going on since day one. Okay? Now, we're 4-6, Danny. We're 4-6. And today I saw a little bit of a spark in our offense, a little bit different play calling, which I like. But I'm going to tell you, Danny, as I'm sitting and talking right into this microphone, if you think that you're going to make this team all about one guy on offense for us to win a Super Bowl, it's not going to happen. You need everybody. You need the other 10 guys, the offensive line to step up. People block, catch the passes. Have it design plays where you throw the ball down the field. And if you think you're going to take a quarterback and have him run 8, 10, 9, 12 times a game, run for 70, 80, 90, or 100 yards, and you think we're going to win from week to week and we're going to win a Super Bowl, I can just tell you right now, I've been around long enough, that's not going to happen, my friend. It's not going to happen.
How well do the Bears protect the pocket? Sponsored by the Protect and Grow Retirement Plan by TJ Stearns. Always protecting your pocket. Call them at 800-640-2256. Three sacks, although the two came in succession after only one sack in the first 65 plays in the game.
Combination of him getting the ball a lot quicker. Tom Brady did a great job of detailing that. The other part is the offensive line played better today than they have all year, and they weren't being asked to do a lot of stuff they are incapable of. Unfortunately, Braxton Jones, you know, got bull rushed two or three times. It caused a lot of problems.
Yeah, he also had a pancake block on the Swift run, too, which was really nice to see, too.
Yeah, that was one hell of a play. Yep. And, you know, we all thought, hey, we're on our way now.
312-981-7200 to the city of Chicago. We'll say hi to Dan. Dan, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I would be shocked if I'm the only one talking about this, but 53 seconds left after we complete that pass to Keenan Allen. We run one more play, a two-yard rush, call timeout, kick a field goal. I feel like it's the same stuff we've seen even years ago with Nagy, where settling for an opportunity to win the game that is by no means a guarantee. Why are we not trying to get closer? Can even be a safe play. It just feels like the same stuff that's let us down in the past, and I'd be shocked if I'm the only one talking about it.
No, you're not, and we've been talking about it for a little bit, but guys, go ahead and give your thoughts.
Well, it's a combination of a couple of things. Number one, if your running game was stymied all day, I would understand, but we weren't. And Roshan, especially in the second half, was breaking tackles, falling forward. And again, we had that caller say that I didn't see on the replay, I did not see a guy block it.
Yeah,
I saw a bad kick. Guys, it happens. The Denver Broncos lost a game last week where the kicker choked and hit 6 inches behind the ball. I don't think Cairo Santos had a good move on the ball. I'm just telling you. And hopefully we'll find out, and maybe he'll tell us. But when he hit that ball, it just didn't look like his normal kick.
Because it carried too far, I think, for a block at that point of the field. I mean, it was like 10 yards short, but I don't think it got deflected.
Gentlemen, please. Our offensive line blocking got blown up. Are you kidding me? Our center and our two offensive guards, they went right into the one gap and the zero gap, hit the three guys, set them up, and pushed them back. Could that possibly have cut Santos off a little bit?
Yeah.
With his mental thinking saying,
absolutely.
Holy Christ, these guys are right in front of me. Maybe that might have changed it. But that's what I'm telling you, the problem is those three guys up front. You want to blame somebody? Blame those three.
I'm just trying to clarify that it might not have been blocked. That was the only thing we were trying to clarify.
Well, I'm just trying to clarify my point, okay?
We're all good.
But
we'll go to our neutral corner shortly.
But, yes.
You know, we're talking about this.
No.
Okay, Thomas Brown and his game plan. Did it work? Folks, in a big way, Yeah, it was a major progress. Think about this.
I agree.
We had seven possessions. Every one of them, we had at least a seven-play commitment on that drive. We've never seen that in 3 years with Getsy and this whole regime. But we, out of the seven possessions, we had two touchdowns, two field goals made, only two punts. I think, what was it, 2 weeks ago, we punted the ball nine times. Yeah. Only two punts. And then the last possession, of course, we know it was a missed field goal.
312-981-7200, the phone number. We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll come back for your phone calls in just a moment. Bears lose 20-19 to the Packers at Soldier Field.
Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois.
Hot route, hot route.
Who brought it today? Looking at which Bear played tough, played hard.
All right, time for Who Brought It Today, sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, the card to bring through it all. And the resounding response in the room here was Caleb Williams. 23 of 31, 231 yards, a 7.5 average, a 95 passer rating, ran for 70 yards and 9 carries, and the last drive, by my calculations, was 3 of 3 after the two sacks for 59 yards. He got the Bears into position for what should have been a game-winning field goal.
Yep, yep. We're not completely sold on the offense as, you know, designed. Obviously, my friend here doesn't like the quarterback being that involved in the running part of it. But I think moment in time, they were looking for a way to win a game.
Yeah.
They didn't care about long term. Today was the only thing they cared about. They almost did it.
Happen to be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Back out to the phones we go to Shortwood. We say hi to Randy. Randy, you're up with Happen to be. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Good to hear from you guys again. I'm just curious on when Poles is going to live up to his promise of taking back the North. It's been nothing but lies. I get we had a close game today, better than what we've played recently. But I'm with OB on this. I don't care about stats. I don't care what happened. We lost. That's the only stat that matters, is that we lost. I lost another division game to, of course, the Packers. We are never going to win with Eberflus. He doesn't care about winning. I saw this last week. He only cares about looking good, as we saw in Hard Knocks. But Poles needs to go. He broke all of his promises of taking back the North. He can't fire Eberflus. He doesn't care about winning. It's just a bunch of baloney. I just can't take it anymore, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Randy.
Well, OB, you know, and again, in the pregame, we detailed all the different mistakes. And they're mistakes. You know, the signing of Nate Davis, Chase Claypool. Okay, giving $100 million to Montez Sweat. What did he do today, OB? I don't think I saw him that much.
No. I'd like to see he was only in 29 plays out of 64 last week. And I don't know. A lot of times I didn't see that number 98 out on the field. I'd like to get those numbers again. I think, Andy, if you could get them.
Yeah, we're going to try. They put them out a little bit later just because they go through the plays individually and they look at it.
But beyond that, you know, why did we not hear from him after, okay, after the head coach? Who's the most important guy on the 25-man roster of coaches? The offensive coordinator. And you fired his ass, and he didn't even come out and meet the media. Didn't answer any questions. Where is he? You cut one of your biggest $30 million signing of a three-year deal to Nate Davis that was pathetic, and where are you? Why don't you have some answers for the fans? Again, Ryan Poles, it ain't working.
He hasn't talked on the record since a mini press conference in London against Jacksonville.
Why don't you be a man and come out and say, okay, I made a mistake, but here's the point. This, that, blah, blah, blah. This, hey, we heard about Caleb Williams standing up and taking some ownership of all the nonsense we've seen the last month that got Shane Waldron fired. And well, he should have been fired without, you know,
Caleb Williams
playing his best. But still, it's all about a team. Last time I checked, the general manager is a very important part of that whole, you know, sum total.
Well, what I like to see today, you know, again, we did run the ball. You know, Swift had, 14 attempts for 71 yards? Johnson, 10 for 33 yards? And, of course, we had our receiver, D. Moore. He one play. I wish they'd stop
179 yards on the ground. That's a lot.
You know, absolutely. That's what I'm pointing this out, Dan. And then passing-wise, you got D.J. Moore. He had seven targeted. He got seven receptions. He had 62 yards. A doozy. He was targeted 10 times, six receptions for 65 yards. Allen, eight receptions, caught four for 41. Komet finally used him. He caught three passes for 42. Swift, two passes coming out of the backfield for 13 yards. So I like the running. I like the passing. And going back to what our new offensive coordinator, Moore?
No.
Thomas Brown.
Thomas Brown.
We need more
for him coming out of the box and showing what he could do against a pretty good football team. A pretty good football team, folks. I think you got to give him a thumbs up. And I think you got to give Eberflus a thumbs up. And I know this might irritate people, but letting Brown put in a game plan, because I haven't seen a game plan like that, utilizing all your receivers, throwing the football. It was a good game plan. I have just one thing again against that game plan today. Don't be putting Williams in a running position. That's why we've got Swift can run pretty good. Moore's, Johnson, a buster back. Let's utilize those people. Let's save that kid for throwing the football and getting us out of trouble.
All right, time now for the Mueller Auto Group game-changing moment, sponsored by the Mueller family of dealerships in Hoffman Estates, Gurnee, Highland Park, and Merrillville. I mean, really okay. Only one play, right?
Well, but no, there was another big play. Okay. When the Green Bay Packers drove down and Jordan Love threw the interception at the goal line, mm-hmm. Everybody in the stands thought, okay, this is our day. But unfortunately, it didn't work out because of the last play of the game. That was the true game changer, a missed field goal.
Yeah, I'll be interested to hear after the game, too, about what the reporters ask Matt Eberflus about that decision not to, with a timeout in your pocket. Now, again, he's not a guy known for being able to use his timeouts very well because he took three of them home with him in Washington in the last quarter. But I'd be interested to see what his thought process was there.
You know what? What play I would have liked to seen, okay, not a drop back pass, but a bootleg, a play-action bootleg to the stronger, to the weak side, okay? And throw the ball into the end zone with here is the distinction. If the guy is covered or near anything, throw the ball into the stands. But try to score a touchdown. That's what this game is about. And we didn't even try to do that. And make Williams certainly understand, if he's open, you hit him. If not, throw the ball away. We'll kick the field goal. But you don't even attempt to try to go in and score. There could have been pass interference penalty called. Got you down on a 1 yard line. A lot of things.
Yeah.
But when you don't try to do it, what do you think's going to happen?
It doesn't happen.
It's going to up pops the devil without even trying to go and score a touchdown. Those are the things that could have happened on that play.
Amen. All right, if you're on hold, please stay there. We're going to get into the news here in just a moment. Courtesy of Fox Sports, Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers, Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. So we came across a report, thanks to our producer, Sammy, that one of the reporters for ESPN was in the Green Bay locker room. Kaylin Kaler is her name, very trusted reporter. Said she just talked to several players on the Packers field goal block unit, and all of them said that they noticed that Cairo Santos kicked with a low trajectory when they're watching film study. They expected the Bears to run another play, which, of course, in their opinion, would have made it a little more difficult to get in there, and the trajectory would have been a little higher. So I think that they're probably as surprised as many Bears fans are that there was not another play run in that situation. So there you go, at least from the ground there in the Green Bay locker
room. I don't know why they didn't also.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you go in the end zone and try to score a touchdown? You had timeouts. You had time to make some moves, but everything had to go in the end zone. And if you tell Williams, if they're covered or anybody close to him, throw the ball into the stands, but try to score a touchdown.
Yep.
If you want to do anything.
20-19, the final, Green Bay over the Bears. Let's go back out of the phones. We appreciate everyone's patience out there today. Let's go out to River Grove and say hi to Lewis. You're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead, Lewis.
Okay. Anyhow, I thought I saw it all. I've been a Bear fan since 1956, and I'll start with the top. I don't like Warren, Poles, or Eflew. Their decision and what they do. And then as far as the game goes, I don't like the way they manage the time clock and call timeouts and don't call timeouts. And you guys kind of just answered my question. Why didn't we get closer, run the ball? It's like we don't have confidence in the quarterback or the running back to get a little closer and run another play. I don't get it, you know. Maybe you can explain that to me.
Yeah, well, if let's say they were playing scared to death football. I'm talking about the coaches. Then if you want to get a little closer, you just take the quarterback takes a snap and he tries to go through the zero or the one gap, okay, or over the center if he can blow the defensive tackles off the line of scrimmage, okay, and try to get 3 yards, 4 yards. Try it again. You had timeouts and you had time and they didn't do it. But what I believe they should have done was go into the end zone for at least two plays, try to score a touchdown. And again, the key of that would be if they're covered, you throw the ball into the stands. But at least try to score. And we didn't do it. And guess what? Up popped the devil. We lose the game.
And unfortunately, I'm of the belief that, hey, you run a couple of dives to Roschon, call the timeout. We were at the 28. And unfortunately, they were completely confident that Cairo Santo would make this kick. What is he, 25 or 28 or something?
Yeah, he was 23 of 27 now after today.
Well, okay. You know what? There's a thing. I learned a long time. You assume nothing.
Yeah.
Well, you assume nothing that he was going to make it. Well.
And they had put together a brilliant 7-play, 42-yard drive to get in the position. Unfortunately, Andy, caution is a disease that flourishes in opulent environments.
That's what a great statement.
Hey, they thought
that's what happened.
They thought this guy is golden. And I guarantee you, if you was a betting man and they would have said that field goal would have been made, it would have been a minus 200. They would have said, this is almost a fait accompli.
That was
the devil.
Somebody popped the scared to death pill.
Yeah, the broadcasters had that had it through the uprights before the kick was even the ball was even snapped. That's how much they were confident as well. All right, back to the phone lines. We go out to Fox Lake. We'll say hi to John. John, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hey guys. I'm just going to make a comment here. Mine's not so much a question, but you know, this is going to go out to the Bears management and coaching staff. We're not just watching just Bears games. The NFL gives us access to other teams. So we get to see winning team programs and how they're coached. We got a coach that keeps on making excuses every Sunday and during the week at the podium. We got to do better. We got to do better. And all I keep on seeing is mismanagement of the time clock. Too many men on the field when you're in the red zone, 12 guys. Then you have players with like making just stupid penalties, just, you know, personal penalties and what have you. And then the last 2 minutes of the game, it's like backyard football. You see offensive players looking at each other. What are we running? What are we doing? Good teams in the NFL gel, and they're all in sync, and the two-minute offense looks smooth as silk. Our team, it's none of that, guys. It is absolutely none. Eberflus, no matter what the situation, has to go. Goodbye. I've seen enough. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have seen enough, and we've seen enough of Ryan Poles. Guys, I'm telling you,
yeah.
Today was their best game of the year. We'll give them that. But Where are we? Four and six.
Yep.
That's where you are.
Yeah, Danny, and plus the shenanigans that these players have been pulling in practice and on that field are beyond unacceptable, okay? And you don't hear from Eberflus about it. You don't hear from anybody, Poles or Warren. You let the inmates run the asylum, okay? And those people should have been brought in on the carpet and read the riot act to them, or you're gone. We don't need you to win a world championship. You need a competent coaching staff, and you need 53 players that are on the same page that want to win. And don't take their personal stuff and make it their game not the team game. That was for them not to step up. Warren and Poles for not to step up and say something to the players in a private meeting and to the public. I'm still wondering why they didn't do it, Danny. Why? They owe an explanation.
They do.
They do.
This week, Ryan Poles should have been out there talking.
You got a player walking off the practice field. You got a player walking off, two players walking off the field while the game's going.
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I think we learned a lot after the Hail Mary situation about how that was handled, first of all, with Tyreek Stevenson, but then how the team did not respond at all.
Nothing.
Against the Patriots. I mean, that was about as big an egg as you could lay, possibly, at home after a critical game that you wanted to try to bounce back from.
And that was a 2-7 team, yeah. Rated the worst defense in the league. They come in our house and slap us around, yep, like a bunch of bad little puppies.
Nine sacks is, yep, sickening.
All right, 312-981-7200. We'll get back to your phone calls in a moment. We got to need to take a break here real quick. Packers beat the Bears 20-19. Happen will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Chevy dealers, Dan Hampton's defensive player of the game.
And it is time now for Dan Hampton's defensive player of the game, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. There were a couple of guys that we could have given it to you here today, but I think you made a good choice in Kevin Byard.
Yes, and again, he, you know, the first 10 games of the season, to me, he has been the best player we have had on defense. It's a shame that now Brisker is on the IR. Yep. Those two guys at safety would have been just magnificent together, but yeah.
Happy to be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
You know, the defense pretty much all year long so far, the first 10 games, I think they've really given us a chance. If anybody has a win in a football game, it's been our defense. The last time I checked, our offense is the one that has to put the points. They're the one that has to be dominant, and we're not. Our defense has kept us in the game.
Yep, 2019, the final, Packers over the Bears at Soldier Field today. Folks have been very patient. We appreciate that. If you're on hold right now, let's get to them. Cicero, we'll say hi to Mike. Mike, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hey, boys. No, once again, the Eberflus show. This guy, he has to go. He does not play to win. Any winning coach in the NFL would have not wasted that last timeout, would have at least tried, like you said, OB, go for the end zone, or at least run a play to get 2 or 3 yards. A 42-yard field goal is better than 45. This guy, I'm done with him. The best thing that could happen if the Bears lose the rest of their games and he gets fired. But what I'm scared of is, are we going to trust Poles to pick the next Bears coach?
Well, he would be the point guard to do that. If what you're saying, Mike, happens, that Poles would be the search guy. He'd be the guy to look for him and bring him in and then sit down with ownership and higher management, which would be Warren. And if Eberflus is still a coach, sit down with him or whatever the new coach would be. But Poles is the lead. He's the guy that has to do it.
Guys, this isn't going to end pretty.
No.
And even though they gave up a good effort today, all that, you know, nonsense means nothing when you're 4-6. And now we've got the Minnesota Vikings who won again today, and then we go to Detroit. This is, like you said, we are entering the storm, and all of these mistakes, they only will be compounded.
You know, there's only so much you can blame on the players, folks, our listeners. There's only so much, okay? I think we have some pretty good players offensively. I really do. I think our receivers are terrific. I think our quarterback can be terrific. But what he has been underwhelming to me so far. Today he showed a little bit. But boy, I'm going to tell you what, the first 9 games, every quarterback we played against, especially the two guys that were taken right behind him, May and Daniels, they outplayed him totally for 4 quarters. But I like what I saw today. But what do you know? I have no idea what the heck's going to go on next week.
You know, there were some more curious time management situations at the end of the first half. Just before the Roschon Johnson touchdown, for some reason, Matt Eberflus, with a timeout in his pocket, just kind of let time roll and roll and roll. And it wasn't a guarantee that they were going to get in from the one.
He called the timeout at 10 seconds. It went all the way down. Yeah. We're all screaming, what are you doing? Unfortunately, the clock walk, you know, the watcher wasn't, on it.
Right.
But still, all of that being said, and we've talked about it, as a defensive coordinator, he has got he has to compartmentalize what he's doing. And then, to me, it's amazing that our defense has played as well as it has with him trying to act like he's the head coach making decisions.
Yeah, divided attention is not doing anybody any real good there. All right, back out of the phones. Let's go to Naperville and say hi to Tom. Tom, you're up with Hamp and OB. Go ahead.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Okay, Tom.
My question is, most NFL teams seem to have a tight end. And to me, Cole Kmet is a really good tight end. Why is he so underutilized?
Well, go ahead.
No, it's that's actually that falls under maybe the word. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. I mean, everybody. The kid is like 6'6", weighs like 262 pounds. He's got great hands. He can get separation, which is the key. If you're a great receiver in this league, the ability to get separation. In other words, to get away from the defensive back. Okay, and for three games, what we throw to. One game, one time. Second game, we didn't even throw to him. Third game, we threw twice. Three games, and you only throw to a positive guy. Gives you nothing but positive yards. He gives you positive effort. He's got great hands. And the key in the passing game, in all the good teams, when you look, Tom, around the league, the key is the tight end. He's the catalyst. He's the one that gets it going. And we don't even use the kid we got, and he is one hell of a football player, Tommy.
I think it falls under priorities. And, yeah, when you've got the grifter.
Mistaken priorities.
Keenan Allen, you know, obviously in the quarterback's ear, throw it to me. You know, hey, look, receivers are a different breed. They're almost nuts, and it's all about them. And they want to, you know, have 12 targets a game and 100 yards, and that way they can be, you know, big shots. And unfortunately, Cole Kmet is more of a blue-collar guy. He's not, you know, clamoring for the ball as much as he should. And with DJ Moore and Allen and even Adunze, now, what is he, the fourth option? How much time you got in the pocket? The ball's coming out. He has not been made a priority. And when they do, OB, this thing will be a lot better, but they haven't.
Look at the great teams, the 49ers, all of them. Kansas City, they have tight ends, and they utilize them for four quarters. They're constantly throwing these people, and they're constantly picking up on third downs, scoring touchdowns, moving the ball down the field. We have the kid in Cole Kmet. Can somebody get it through their blockheads on this offense? You need this kid. You got to utilize him for four quarters to convert on third down and to score touchdowns. My God, you go two or three games and the guy's like he's lost in the desert somewhere. He is your main target. Use him.
All right, got about a minute left before we have to break for the news at the bottom of the hour. Let's go out to Kenosha and say hi to Sean. Sean, you're up with Hamp and OB. Go ahead.
A minute left. Oh, well.
You're on the clock. Go ahead.
Listening to you guys is great. I'm going to cut to something else, then it's halftime, it's a minute. Andy, you interned for us at Allstate back many years ago, I knew there'd be greatness, and I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
And OB, man, leaving Obradovich's in the 70s one day, I was on your party bus and 14 years old, and you and me shared my first beer as an adult together, not my old man, but you. I sipped mine and you shotgunned yours, but either way, I have that moment in my head, and I don't have more than that because it takes a lot more than a minute to attack this Bears thing, who can't even stay onside when it's a 4th-and-2 and they jump offside, and that's symbolic of the entire thing, right? No good team does that. So.
Great to hear from you, Sean. Thanks.
Thank you, Sean. That was very nice
of you.
Thank you, buddy.
So OB was contributing to the delinquency of a minor at an early age.
It's kind of like you're shying away from the microphone right now when it's gone.
There isn't a blue light going out in front of the building.
No, there's not. There's not. Hey, I don't know if we mentioned this on the air because I know we were talking about it off the air, but let's mention it just in case. We were wondering about snap counts today. Montez Sweat, there was a total of 46 defensive snaps, and Montez Sweat was on the field for 36 of those 46 snaps today.
They had 46 plays, and he was not on the field in 10 of them. I have no idea. Where is, how about him? Where's his? You got the other 10 guys that you're with. You go to war, so to speak, with those guys, and you let them down when you could be, and you could be a difference maker. And so far, he has not been a difference maker with this team.
He hasn't. And, you know, last year they said, oh, he gave them, you know, an element of you know, pass rushing and this. And okay, maybe last year he a little bit. Folks, we know the goods. I OB was a great player. I played with two guys in the Hall of Fame. I know it. I haven't seen it out of Montez Sweat. And here's the thing that makes me want to puke. 46 plays is all you play. We would play that in the first half.
He only played 36.
That's what I'm saying. Only 46 the entire game?
Yeah.
Tom Brady said Josh Jacobs, their running back, is the kind of player that would fight to get back out on the field to help his team. I don't see it out of Montez, do you?
All right, we're going to take a break for the news here. Come back and get your phone calls, 312-981-7200. With you till 5 o'clock here tonight.
$1.5 million a game.
That's the truth.
You know, they were loading the box there, you know, so you could say you could do that for sure. Maybe get a couple more yards, but you also risk, you know, fumbling and different things there. We felt where we were, you know, if we at the 36 or 35, you know, you're definitely doing that because you want to get it inside there. I felt very confident where we were at that time with the wind and where we were on the field.
Matt Eberflus.
How about play action on the first play back? Suck everybody in because your defense, that's the first thing they do. They have to stop the run, go with play action, and hit one or two of your receivers in the end zone. And again, if they're covered, throw it out. Try to win the football game, Eberflus. That's a lame, weak excuse that I just heard you say. Try to win the damn football game. You had time to do it. You had timeouts. And that would have been the smart move. Come with a play action. Toss it into the end zone because there'd be tight defensive coverage and you may get lucky and you may hit Cole Kmet, who stands 6'6". And by the way, he can jump in the air.
Happen to be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Let's get to our Epical performance of the game. Sponsored by Epical, revolutionizing beverage hydration with a pickle twist and rapid hydration. Give it to the quarterback again, Caleb Williams. You know, for all accounts, he was heavily involved and didn't do too many things wrong today.
No, rushed for 70 yards and threw for over 230. So, you know, he did a lot of good things. But that excuse that Eberflus just, offered.
That's lame.
Scared. Oh, well, they're in a box defense and blah, blah, blah.
Why don't you believe in your players? Believe in your quarterback.
Last time I checked on short yardage here in a box, and you're expecting to make 2 yards, right? 3 yards?
I think our quarterback is a little bit better than average, although he's been playing some underwhelming football. But he does have the characteristics to come through and lead us to a championship. And my God, Eberflus, why are you playing scared-to-death football? Why the hell didn't you, what I just said, why didn't you go with play action? Go in the end zone, try to score. You had time, you had timeouts left. My God. And what did you do?
Yep.
We lost.
Stood around, called timeout.
20-19 was the final. Yeah. Packers over the Bears. Back out to the lines we go to Homer Glenn. We'll say hi to Ron. Ron, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Love talking to you. My question is, after Jordan Love made that first run to the outside and barely scored, who was responsible for containment on that second time that he ran around? Was that the Sweat?
Sweat would be, that would be the guy that has it all. If it's a blitz, it would be the stronger weak side linebacker that would have containment. Otherwise, it's the left defensive end or the right, whichever way they roll. You go as deep as the ball, then you come in. You go as deep as that football because you got your other two tackles coming in, and if there's a Mac blitz or a Will or a Sam blitz or any of those coming in, but whoever has containment's got to go as deep as the ball. More often than not, it's the defensive ends.
And nobody tackled or even tried to touch Watson when he was down on the ground with that play that got reviewed, and it was a good catch until it was a little too late.
It was man coverage, and he had made an excellent move to break away. Jordan Love got the ball out with two linebackers blitzing, and there was nobody within 10 yards of him, and he got up and hurt us.
That's the way it goes. Ron, is containment, force, and fill. That's on every defensive play. Containment, force, and fill.
All right, Ron, thanks for the call. Let's go back out to say hi to Kelly. Kelly, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Just got to say, love the show. We listen every week. My question is, what the heck happened before the two-minute warning, the delay of game in the fourth quarter? They're standing around looking like they don't know where they're at. What happened?
I don't know if they're I'm not sure there was a delay.
There should have been a timeout.
There wasn't a delay.
Yeah, they just didn't get the playoff in time.
The clock. I think you're talking about when they were accepted the penalty and then punted. That was the next to last drive.
Yeah, right before the 2 minute warning.
Right, that was the next to last drive, and they were just giving the punter more room. They were trying to draw them off sides.
That's right. I got you.
I mean, that's in fifth grade, and it doesn't work.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was thinking the first half when they decided just to let the clock go to 2 minutes. They tried to run the play, but it was already a 2 minute warning. All right, thanks for the call, Kelly. We appreciate that very much. Time now for what play do the Bears need to scrap? It's sponsored by Elgin Recycling, where you'll get top dollar for all your scrap metal. We're speaking of penalties again. The penalties were abundant, and a lot of them, again, were these fundamental pre-snaps, and then the defense got drawn off on a fourth and three.
Yeah. Again, what did the Packers have, one penalty all day?
Yeah, I believe that's right.
I think they only had one, and I think we had seven. Again, these are things. Again, you look at penalties.
That's reflection. I
and turnovers. You. That tells you a football team that is ill-prepared. And all year long, we always come up on the short end of the stick. But the one thing that is kind of bizarre about what happened today, and again, we were able to sustain drives. We owned the clock. We had the ball 21 minutes of the 30 in the second half, and yet we lose.
Yep.
Because of the little things. Somehow, some way, you've got to be better and prepared. And by the way, folks, we didn't see the A game of the Packers. They did not look like they were that engaged,
no,
did they?
They didn't.
You know why? Next week, they have the 49ers coming in. And I played this game a long time, and I knew guys would be looking through this game thinking about next week. And I could tell early in this game, the Packers were kind of going through the motions. If they were ever going to be beat, today was the day. Just one block field goal away.
And what quickly here, and the Packers only ran 46 plays, folks.
Mm-hmm.
46 plays, period. And we had roughly the ball 13 more minutes than the Packers did. And we lost the football game. So there's something wrong somewhere, wouldn't you think?
Yeah. And just for the record, the Packers had three penalties, cost them 25 yards. The Bears, 7 for 50. And I was telling these guys off the air here because we get these final stat sheets, and it runs down from total first downs to third down efficiency, fourth down efficiency, and total net yards. And if you just happen to pick up this piece of paper and look at those top five stats, you would think, if you didn't know the final score of this game, that the Bears won this game in a laugher.
Right.
But it didn't turn out that way, obviously. We're talking about a 20-19 loss to the hated Green Bay Packers. Now the unfortunate losing streak runs to 11 straight, and they don't see the Packers again until the final week of the season up at Lambeau.
Yeah, and you know what? Just real quick, again, only 46 plays. That's what they ran, the Packers today, folks. 46 plays, and we had the ball, again, approximately 13 more minutes than they did, and they only ran 46 plays. And the bottom line is, we lost the game. Now, whose fault is it? The players or the coaches? Somebody's at fault.
Yep, I agree with you.
You got guys around you to make plays, get the ball in their hands, and give them opportunities, and they'll go make them. And so that's what I believe in. I believe in my guys, my wide receivers, running backs, tight ends, whoever it is, offensive line. We held up long enough. Broke out of one tackle, gave Rome a shot. He found a space. That's all you can ask for.
Caleb Williams looked like a different guy under Thomas Brown here today, doing a couple different things than we've used to seeing him do. Happen to be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Two things. Number one, you know, confidence is so important in any, you know, athletic endeavor and anything in life. But I think, you know, you remember back when you were a rookie, right, OB? You know, for a while, you don't realize what is really important, you know, every week in your preparation and all the different things that you have to do and all that. And maybe, just maybe, seeing that in some, you know, small abstract way, he cost, you know, his offensive coordinator's job. I saw a different attitude today, and it was more determined and more confident about making decisions and getting the ball out. And all of these things, you know, it goes into the development of our so-called, what would you want to call him, a franchise quarterback. Mm-hmm. That's what everybody is expecting. That is what we need. That's what we want. And again, going back to Ryan Poles, you essentially flunked the biggest test of all, bringing in an offensive coordinator that was incompetent and set this kid back. So far, now he's having to dig out play by play.
Well, if you're looking at today, I mean, there's different things you could point to, you know, why the game turned out the way it did. But I can tell you, for the Green Bay Packers, they move pretty good offensively, folks. For them to have only 46 plays, 46 plays, and we lost the game. 46 plays, and we had the ball almost 13 more minutes, and they just had 46 offensive plays. And again, we had the ball 13, and we lose this damn game. So I know things look a little better this week, but I'll tell you what, we lost.
Truth.
We just lost.
All right, let's hear a little bit of Caleb Williams following the game, chatting with the reporters at Soldier Field.
I'm all right. Tough loss, but I'm all right.
Caleb,
here we go.
Walk us through the two throws of Rome. You guys are backed up 3rd-and-19. You hit him on a scramble drill on the fade.
Yeah. You know, we called a play, and pocket started squeezing down a little bit on the first one. And, you know, when it comes to two-minute and things like that, it's find your one-on-ones and find your guys. And, you know, when it's time to make plays, make plays. Obviously still have the routine plays, but at that moment it was time to make plays. And, you know, we did a good job with, you know, finding Rome and Rome finding space and sitting right there, making sure I saw him and just let it rip and let him make plays. And then on a fade ball, just, you know, good call by TB. I think they would be expecting a run or, getting something near the sticks. And, you always, this matchup league, as everybody tells you. And so to be able to have, you know, my guy, Rome, one-on-one with somebody, went off the line, kind of knowing that the DB's, in catch-up mode, give him a back shoulder ball and either he's going to get a PI or he's going to catch it. And so, he did just that, made the catch, great catch, unbelievable catch, and, got us going.
Can you describe your emotional swing of anticipating a game when he kicked there and then gets blocked and you're walking out of here as a loser?
Yeah, not a loser. Situation to learn from. If we want to really go back, the drive before ended up punting. If we score right there, put 3 points on the board or anything like that, it makes the game a lot different. And so that's even before the 2-minute drive. We had the ball with like 5 minutes left. And so, on that drive, can do better, make a few more routine plays, be better in those ways. But, starts there. And then, when we get those shots at the end, that's all you can ask for. Defense, obviously they gave up a touchdown, put us back on the field with more than enough time to be able to go down and score. I put those guys back on the field and do it all over again if we had to. So believe in those guys, believe in them over and over and over again. That's my guy, Santos, and that special teams unit, and we'd do it all over again.
Caleb, what did you learn on the third and 19 that you hit Rome and then you go back to him on fourth down, like getting out of a jam like that? What did you learn about yourself in that moment?
I wouldn't say that I learned anything about myself. Make plays. You got guys around you to make plays, get the ball in their hands, and give them opportunities, and they'll go make them. And so that's what I believe in. I believe in my guys, my wide receivers, running backs, tight ends, whoever it is, offensive line. You know, we held up long enough. Broke out of one tackle, gave Rome a shot. He found a space. That's all you can ask for.
How do you deal with so many things going wrong?
All right, the thoughts there of Caleb Williams following the game here today. And OB?
Yeah, just want to say one thing to Williams and to Brown. Correct?
Yeah, Thomas Brown.
Yes. Throw the football down the field. You know what you did for four quarters today, Williams? You never threw the ball down the field. Brown, you never called a pass play, a deep pass play, for four quarters. Not post, deep post pattern, fly pattern, nothing. Now, one time did we try to go downfield and break this game open. That's why we score 19 points, 15 points, 10 points. That's why we just score points like that. For God's sakes, open this up. The kid's got an arm. Throw that damn football down the field. You got four quarters. Just sit and watch every other team. They're firing downfield. Watch us. Right here today, what you saw for four quarters. Not one time did we try to go deep down the field. Not one time.
You know, and there has been progress in today, but just to kind of illustrate what you're talking about.
Dan, we didn't open up the passing game.
Okay, but listen to this. Caleb attempted 31 passes, completed 23. 23 passes for 230 yards. Guess what Jalen Love did? He was 13 of 17 for 260, 20 yards a completion average. We didn't go deep enough. We didn't try. But our coach was scared to fumble. You think he's going to throw it in the end zone?
That's the one point, folks. We've been on a show for 2 hours. What I'm telling you is we never went downfield. We never tried to open this game up. And we didn't. We did not try to open this game up.
And the fact is, a loss is a loss, 20-19 to the Packers. That's going to do it for us here tonight. Big thanks to Sammy, Jack, and Eli, and also Krista, our engineer.
Good job, guys.
Next week against Minnesota, against the Vikings at Soldier Field, we'll have an 11 o'clock in the morning pregame show for you.